When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the show. We are the Junkies, live on 106.7 The Fan. Bish and EB. You can also listen to us on Team 980. 910 The Fan in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com and you can join their team. It is time to talk to our boy, Brian Robinson Jr. He's always presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit MStreetBank.com for more information. B. Rob, what's up, bro?
Yo, morning. How we doing?
Hey, good.
How you doing, man? Man, that got a little tight down in New Orleans in the last couple minutes. They changed quarterbacks. They went to Rattler. He made it a little bit more interesting. Just kind of give us your breakdown on the game, and especially how it ended.
Just another example of, I think, we just allowed them to hang around too much in the game. You know, we didn't, you know, pull away when we had the opportunity to, and we just allowed them to just gain that confidence to just, you know, make the comeback they made. You know, they rallied off the quarterback that they subbed in, you know, which I definitely think he came in and made an immediate impact. And, you know, like I said, we just allowed them to just stick around for too long, and then they definitely made it interesting for us on the end of the game. So, you know, that's definitely, you know, where I feel like we got to just pull away early and just go ahead and just, you know, kill their confidence to where they don't feel like they can just be one or two scores away from tying or winning the game, you know. So
did you or any other guys on the sideline know the controversy when they stopped the referee stopped the clock after the first down, you know, late when they got down? Did you guys even know that happened?
Man, we pay attention to everything. We see everything. So like we noticed as soon as that happened, how the clock stopped, and you know it was stopped for at least 3 to 4 seconds.
Right.
You know, that definitely would have made a difference. You know, trying to attempt that last play. And I'm just shocked that they didn't, you know, do anything about it. You know, it was, you know, pretty obvious. But no, I can't control that.
Well, you got the win anyway, right?
What was it like for you? You know, you guys tried to stay dedicated to the run. I mean, you got a bunch of carries. I don't have your stats in front of me, but I feel like, did you have like 21 carries, something like that? So they were trying to pound the ball. Now, you didn't have a starting center, didn't have Tyler in there. Did that make a difference? What was it like for you?
I think we didn't you know, get off on our best foot, you know, in our run game. You know, we started off very, very slow and allowed their front to, you know, gained confidence as well, and they played very, you know, hats off to, you know, the Saints front and how they, you know, they played, and, you know, they played hard, they played tough. But they had a lot of gap discipline, and they, you know, they did the things that they were supposed to do to, you know, have success, and we didn't do the things that we needed to do to have, like, great success, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. But you guys were so close, though. Like, so close.
Yeah. Like, that's how our run game is. Like, we are literally always there, like, one block, one step away from, you know, just, you know, springing, you know, bigger runs, of course. But, like I said, we just got to be on top of all our, you know, details so that we can just make our, you know, plays just come to life.
What has Cliff told you that they want to use you a little bit more in the passing game as well, now that Austin is out with the concussion?
No, that's just part of the offense.
That's just part of the offense.
Okay. I expect to, you know, get work in the receiving game regardless, you know, if, you know, Austin is, you know, playing or not. You know, I still expect to, you know, catch passes or, you know, get some looks in the receiving game. So that's really not a big difference.
Right.
Obviously, it's more, you know, obviously I get, you know, more opportunities with Austin, you know, being available. But I'm always looking forward to, you know, getting receiving work.
What's can you give us a little insight as to what Jaden's like in the huddle, like in the heat of the moment? Because I've just been blown away at how much joy he seems to have when he's playing. You know, he's talking with the guys. The guys have a good hit on him or a good play on him, and he smacks him on the butt and he's laughing. What's he like in the huddle? You know, with you guys.
He's the same way. You know, just same energy. You know, it's positive. You know, just want to play the next play. You know, he's always positive. You know, that's good. You know, regardless of,
right,
you know, anything that happens in the game, it doesn't really matter. I like the fact that, you know, he shakes it off and he continues to stay positive. You know, because as our quarterback, you know, as our leader, you know it starts with him and his energy and, you know, what he brings to the field. And, you know, we all gotta, you know, just get on page.
Yeah, and Terry has that positive energy too, whether he's being targeted or not. And you guys definitely feed off of him. You know, J.P. Finley, a guy that covers the team for Monumental and for NBC4, and he does the middays here. He talked about, you know, Terry could have had 5 touchdowns last week. And that game wouldn't have even been close.
Right, and that just goes to show, like, he's just being him, you know, being himself all the time, you know. And he would have literally just had 5 touchdowns off just being himself, doing nothing, you know, out of the ordinary, just being himself and doing what he does. You know, what he could have, you know, easily pulled off a game like that. And I don't put it past him. You know, he's a great player. You know, he works hard. He's humble. You know, one of my favorite teammates.
He seems like a great dude.
So, Brian, Jaden was sacked 8 times. We kind of already talked about the offensive line. You know, Biotis being out certainly affected you guys. But can you kind of talk about that? It looked like a couple times Jaden, when they did the replay, the instant replay overhead, there were a couple guys open that he just didn't see. But most of the time, guys were just covered. So can you kind of talk about the sacks and why you think that happened?
I think he didn't really have much time. Maybe you know, things probably just broke down in front of him,
mm-hmm.
you know, too fast for his likeness, and him just knowing his skill set and being able to use his legs and having speed to get away and break the pocket and, you know, try to make something out of the play. You know, that's just who he is, you know, and I feel like, you know, the better, the more sharp our offensive line plays, and just all of us players as a whole, it'll, you know, clear those pictures up for him to where he can, you know, go through his progressions, you know, just, you know, fluently.
Wait, have you noticed Marshawn, when he's been practicing with you, like, right away, like, do you know, does his talent just jump out at you, or is it a little more subtle? I mean, they didn't even target him last week.
He was definitely a factor.
Right, so you know, that should, you know, give you a great example of what type of player he is. Like, he keeps the side of the field quiet. So, you know, you don't really have to see him, you know, have, you know, much PBUs or, you know, just get too much of involved all the time in the game because they either are not going to target him or, you know, he just keeps the side of the field quiet. So, you know, respect to him, I guess, you know, quarterbacks and other players throughout the league respect him enough to not even target him or try him, you know, and that just goes to show what type of player he is. You know, he can lock down the whole side of the field and, you know, keep the whole side of the field quiet the whole game.
Right.
And whatever player is playing over him, obviously be a non-factor. So
he's legit. He's legit. Well, they're going to have to – he's got to have to make an impact this week. All right, let's talk about this game. We've kind of – you know, we talked about the Eagle game the last time you played them and in Philly, and we talked about their defense, bunch of SEC guys on their defense, not guys you rooted for in college, a bunch of Georgia guys. You don't have to win this game, okay, because you can still kind of control your own destiny a little bit if you even if you lose. But talk about the Eagles preparing for them, especially because of their defense, and how are you feeling? We don't know if Zach Ertz is going to play. We're not sure about Biadasz. I assume he'll be okay. But just talk about preparing for the Eagles' defense and going against them.
Well, honestly, they know us. We know them. Just going based off of first time we played, you know, we just got to control all of the controllables on our end and play our best ball. That's literally all that matters because, you know, based off the last game, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot, you know, multiple times, and, you know, we feel like we are the better team and we just got to go play better. You know, and when we prepare, you know, obviously we're going to do what we do, you know, and we're going to attack them. We're going to go right at them, you know, and we just got to literally, we got to execute better than they execute. It's going to be one of those type of games. You know, we just got to be on top of our game from start to finish. We can't, you know, come out playing around with them. We just got to go out there and handle our business. I feel like if we come out and we do that, we will get the win.
Mm. So does it bother you? I mean, you just strike me as a guy that doesn't care. I'll be honest. But, I mean, does it bother you when people say, oh, they haven't beaten a team with a winning record yet or that kind of thing? They're just beating up on bad teams. Like, does any of that stuff register with you or you just tune it out?
No, none of that stuff matters. We, you know, that don't matter. You know, winning is hard in this league regardless. It don't matter.
Right.
So, you know, we win games, you know, and some games, the games that we even lost were either by one score or just however it lost. Like, who cares about the record? Nobody cares, really. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to show up and play football on Sunday, you know, and the NFL has shown throughout numerous years that anybody can be beat on any Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be that team that's just, you know, just shows up to play, you know. So
do you pay attention to the playoff scenarios with the other NFC teams and their records and who has to win? And do you pay attention to that?
Kind of, not too much. Like, I really don't try to get too much into the playoff picture right now, only because, like, we still got work to do right now.
Right.
You know, and if we handle our business now and do the work that we need to do, mm-hmm. then we will go to the playoffs. It's no then when it's time to prepare for them. But right now, we just got to handle these final weeks of the season to just build our team as strong as we can to just finish off this season so that we are ready for whoever they put in front of us first week of the playoffs.
Gotcha.
Brian, you're having, you know, kind of quietly having your best year. You got 8 touchdowns. You got over 700 yards. You haven't hit that 1,000-yard mark yet, and it's hard the way the league is today. You know, so many 2-back systems, et cetera. They try not to have guys carry too much of the load. Is that something? Is that a goal of yours? Would that, does that mean anything to you? Because you're about 295 away or so
from 1,000,
potentially having 1,000 yards this year.
Well, I could tell you right now, any ball player, receiver, running back, anybody, they want to go for 1,000 yards in the season. It don't matter. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a thing, you know. Obviously, it's a little tough, you know, missing five games and in the midst of, you know, just playing very well. So, you know, I'm still pushing, you know.
And you still got a crack at it. If you have a big one or two, definitely.
And I never put anything past myself. Like, I know I can do it.
Right.
You know, it's just, I just got to do it. I'm right where I need to be to do everything I want to do. And that's on me, you know, personally. So.
And it's also good for the next contract. If you could put up 1,000 yards and put up 10 touchdowns, right? I mean, that's something to think about.
Oh yeah. It's something definitely in the back of my head. You know, I just got to control what I can control, play the game as it comes, you know, winning is always more important,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, maturing is realizing that, you know, after coming off a 4-13 season, you know, so, you know, winning is definitely the standard, you know, but mm-hmm. if I can also accomplish all of the things that I, you know, have set out for myself personally, that'll definitely be a plus, you know, but winning would always come first.
All right, before we let you go, you're a Pizza Bullies guy. See you on the commercial with Jonathan. The Pizza Bullies question of the week. Pizza Bullies offering wings, subs, and more. Pizza Bullies delivers more taste. Download the Pizza Bullies app for easy ordering. All right, B-Rob, question kind of diverting to college here. I want to get your opinion on this. Do you think Bill Belichick will be successful at North Carolina? I know that's a very general question. Success could be a bunch of different things, but do you think Bill Belichick will be successful at Carolina in the next 5 years? He signed a 5-year contract, $10 million a year.
I think he will be successful at North Carolina only because, you know, it's Belichick. His brand is off the charts. He'll have multiple people and resources, you know, connected to him and, you know, that wants to come and work with him and learn from him, players that, you know, would probably drop anything for the experience to play under him. You know, so I feel like he'll give more of that effect back to college football to where he can have impact on players and not necessarily have to bribe them with all this money and stuff like that. He'll bribe them with more of an opportunity to learn him and his system so that he can have them set up for the next level. He'll bring more of that type of.
Would you consider playing for a guy like him if you were coming up? Just maybe take less money now, because like money's a big issue now for college kids, studs like you. Would you consider taking less to play for a guy like him?
It depends. You know, I'm not sure Belichick's my guy.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
But, yeah, I'm sure, you know, some kids will definitely, you know, make that decision, you know. And, you know, I can't really tell you what I would do and what I would want and what I would need for myself personally. But,
right.
You know, I feel like Belichick would definitely, impact a lot of people and players and coaches and staff members and just build a strong enough, you know, program to win some games, especially in the, you know, AC, right?
Yep, for sure.
All right, Brian, stay healthy this week. Good luck, and hopefully we're talking to you next week after a win against Philly. Snap their 10-game win streak.
That'd be a big one.
All right, bro.
Thank you, pal.
That's all good. Yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
That's Brian Robinson, Jr., I love talking to him. All right, when we come back, we're going to switch to college football. There are some massive games, one on Friday night and three on Saturday. We'll talk to Chip Patterson from CBS.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. the plug-in hybrid X5 commanding the streets with unmatched presence, and the all-electric i4 charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right. There's some big games this weekend. And our buddy Chip Patterson covers college sports for CBSSports.com. You can check everything out there on the website. He covers college football, college hoops. Chip, first of all, happy holidays to you, buddy. I always enjoy talking to you. Before we get into the games, I did want to get your take on, I'm not sure if you read it, but your boy John Talty from CBSSports.com wrote a very interesting article 3 or 4 days ago about North Carolina's search for a coach, who, of course, ended up with Belichick. And basically, he was saying that there was a fractured search, that half the people in the athletic department were looking for a younger stud, you know, a John Summerall from Tulane or a Matt Campbell from Iowa State, possibly Dillingham from Arizona, someone like that, someone in their 30s or 40s that has a reputation of being a younger offensive guy. Or there were also some people in North Carolina, like John Pryor, who's the chairman of the Board of Trustees at North Carolina, who was really pushing for Belichick. And Bubba Cunningham, the AD, really didn't think that Belichick was interested in Carolina, that he was just kind of using it as leverage for an NFL job. Who knows? But give me your take on First of all, the search. Do you think that it was 100% Belichick and nobody else? Or do you believe that John Talti's on point here, that some of the people, especially the AD, were looking at a different coach and they just ended up with Belichick?
Well, I think Summerall was first.
Okay.
And I think that what happened was you had just whipped so many power players, whether they be boosters, North Carolina football alumni, you know, donors, people within the administration, people on the board, you know, the fan base. I think it reached a point where you had just whipped everybody into such a fervor that to not hire Belichick would be even more damaging for the brand and the look and the idea of North Carolina as a serious football program. Mm-hmm. I'll get to the fractured part in just a second, because that to me is the thing that stands out about this. Like, Bill Belichick, sure, but to me it is about the investment, and it's about saying we prioritize football, because I went to North Carolina. I remember how shocked I was my freshman year with the casual attitude that my peers and students had towards football. Like, yeah, we'll watch the first quarter on TV and maybe wander down to the stadium if it's looking like it's going to be a good game. Mm-hmm. Now, this is John Bunting era football, a different North Carolina, but it's still just the culturally, it's been a little bit casual, you know, just a fun thing to do till basketball season gets started. And investment-wise, you were talking about, you know, North Carolina investing in football in a top 35, top 40 kind of way, you know, maybe about, you know, top five or top six of the ACC. And what you have here is not just going from $5 million a year to $10 million a year for a coach. You're talking about an incredible, like, 2X, 3X, four times over investment in staffing, in resources, in your NIL budget. And that's why when Bubba Cunningham, after this long search, this long fractured search, which I agree with that term there, that's why he's at the press conference and he says, look, this is a risk. And that's why, again, I say in my lifetime, I've never seen North Carolina go for it. Mm-hmm. And this is capital G, go for it.
Right.
And look, it might not work out.
Right.
Texas A&M spends as much as anybody in the country for 8-4 seasons.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, it's just throwing money at it doesn't mean it's going to work. But everybody who's called North Carolina sleeping giant has never actually dug into whether North Carolina wants to be a giant. And with this investment, I think that it is North Carolina saying, okay, we're going to spend as much as Florida State. You know, we are going to jump up into that top 10, top 15 range in terms of investment in our football program. We don't know if we can do this, but we haven't won an ACC championship in 45 years. And we'll never know if we can do it if we don't try. And so that's where I think it is the risk. Now, real quickly, back to the fractured thing. Yeah. It's the way that the University of North Carolina has been really for the last 5 years on all topics. The board has an old guard and a new guard. You're run by the university system, whether it's conference realignment, whether it's the future of athletics, whether it's like, not to get, you know, take this into too much political stuff, but like, a state legislature that has a supermajority that is trying to use you know, the University of North Carolina and its power over the University of North Carolina to continue to push forward the general cultural and political war on education. I mean, guys, it is bananas trying to think about the politics and everything that is not aligned in terms of the decision makers at the University of North Carolina. I mean, Kevin Guskowitz looked at the Board of Trustees and was like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go take the Michigan State job. And I don't know about university president power rankings, but to me, the University of North Carolina is one of like those jobs you would aspire to. And he made what I would say was a lateral move, just because he saw all of the actual politics, but university politics that were taking place. So I was unsurprised that it was a messy search.
Yeah.
Because everything at the university level over there in Chapel Hill has been extremely messy for the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, I got a billion questions for you, but we only have so much time. All right, so let's transfer over here to the games. I can't wait for the games. I don't care about the bowls this year, because you've got the expanded playoffs. You've got teams in their home stadiums. I was going to go to the Penn State SMU game, Chip, but the game's at noon. I'd have to leave my house at like 4 or 5 in the morning. Not doing it. Can't do it. So I'm just looking forward to watching these games in the home stadiums. Let's stick to the Penn State SMU game. I feel like there's more pressure on James Franklin to win this game, if not more, than even the pressure of beating teams like Ohio State and Michigan. He's always had pressure on winning that big game. He's not good at that. He's not good at winning the big conference games as an underdog. He's very good at winning games as a favorite. And they're a pretty sizable favorite over SMU. SMU was practicing this week in 68 degrees. They're going to go to State College. It's going to be 18, 19 degrees, possibly snowing. Penn State has to win this game. So break down this matchup.
All right. So the thing, in addition to just like the ponies, you know, the up-tempo, spread them out, high-octane offense, like all of a sudden going into the frigid north 100%, worth every bit of like lip service that is being paid to it. That's going to be something. But you mentioned the James Franklin angle, and this is what I'm fired up for. It feels like the kind of game where first quarter, maybe quarter and a half, are so important for Penn State, because if you let SMU get in there,
hang around, maybe
score,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, score early, hang around. Like, do not let the fans in Beaver Stadium be going to the concessions grumbling.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same fan base that was, you know, yelling at James Franklin after the Ohio State game. James Franklin's like picking fights with them. Because on the contrary, I think the atmosphere is going to be unbelievable. You know, they have believed that they are a playoff-worthy program since the playoffs started. They are one of the most successful programs, and Franklin is one of the most successful coaches of the playoff era to not make a playoff. Penn State goes in there, they jump out to a 10-0 lead in the first quarter, and the defense has SMU in absolute hell. That place is going to be rocking and rolling, and everything will be great. No pressure. But, man, things are going to get really, really tight if that is a close game late. And so that's why I think the start for Penn State offensively and defensively is so important to be a tone setter. One last X factor about this one I would keep your eye on. SMU did not win the turnover battle in five of its final seven games.
Wow.
It was kind of a crazy anomaly against Duke, where they were minus six in the turnover battle and still were able to win thanks to a blocked field goal right at the end of the game. But even in the ACC title game, lost fumble, interceptions early contributed to SMU falling in that hole. If it is snowy, if it is cold, if the ball feels weird on your hands, watch for SMU's turnover issues to maybe be a factor.
All right, last question, then we got to go. Give me your thoughts on what road team, that would be Indiana, SMU, Clemson, or Tennessee. I think I know your answer, but what road team has the best shot at winning?
I think Tennessee and Clemson are alive.
Okay.
The Ohio State factor, you know, this, like, for all the Ryan Day stuff, let's just take it to football. That offensive line kind of got eaten alive by Michigan, and Tennessee's got a nasty defensive line. And, like, Tennessee has Nico Iamaleava, but they also really, their strength has been running the football. Michigan ran the football well on Ohio State's defense. Oregon ran the football well on Ohio State's defense. Like, just put the vibes, and you know I'm the vibes coordinator, but like put the vibes aside, and there's some football reasons why Tennessee is going to be able to hang in this game, and then you throw all the pressure on top of that on Ryan Day. I think Tennessee's live, and then for Clemson, I've just been so impressed with the way that Cade Klubnik responded after he looked like a deer in headlights against Georgia early in the season. Finishes the year as one of the most productive quarterbacks in the country, puts the team on his back in that game against Pitt with a 55-yard touchdown run to win the game. I think Clemson's coming in free, loose, tons of playoff experience, and Texas offensively just hasn't had like the juice at all. They're bad in red zone opportunities. Texas has one of the best defenses in the country. Love that group. But if Texas can't score enough to put Clemson away and it's a tight game late, I think I like the Tigers maybe to threaten an upset there. So I've got Tennessee and Clemson as my underdogs most live to win.
You love a tease with Texas plus 17.5 and Tennessee plus 13. You love that. You love it, Chip Patterson.
I mean, you know, I'm more of a spray the board guy myself. I'm not going to tie these results together. But yeah, you'll find me all kinds of different ways. First half under, first quarter with the dog. I mean, yeah, we'll be on top of it.
All right, got to let you go. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
All right, thank you, pal.
All right, listen, sports fans, looking to upgrade your office game? Swing by PVI Office Furniture. Got everything you need to take your workspace from the bench to the big leagues. Whether you're drafting up the next great idea or just need a power play in comfort, PVI has the perfect lineup of desks, chairs, and accessories. Mention the Fan. You'll score 15% off your in-store purchase. Don't miss your shot. Hit the ice at PVI Office Furniture today. Elevate your workspace like a true champ. PVI Office Furniture, where productivity gets a hat trick. Visit PVI.com because business grows with PVI. Got one more giveaway, and I'm just teasing it a little bit here, but let you know how to win those tickets at the end of the show. Just kind of getting back to what Chip Patterson was talking about with some of these games. There's so much pressure for a couple different coaches. One, certainly James Franklin of Penn State, to win this game at home against SMU because, you know, this is the first time ever that you've been able to play a college football playoff game in your home stadium. And they certainly have a huge advantage there because of the weather and just because of the history. And there's 100,000 people that are going to be there. The opposing team gets about 3,000 tickets. And I'm sure SMU travels a bit, but it's just going to be an incredible atmosphere for Penn State. Not just that, but if Penn State beats SMU, they would play Boise State. Now, that'll be on a neutral field, but it's just – the matchups kind of work out in their favor. So if James Franklin, I'm not saying he's going to get fired if he loses to SMU, but there's so much pressure for one coach to win. Ryan Day's got a lot of pressure too, to beat Tennessee. But there's so much pressure on James Franklin to win this game and possibly the next game against Boise than ever before. Even bigger than, you know, beating Ohio State and Michigan. These are huge games for James Franklin. So it'll be interesting to watch those games. Friday night will be Notre Dame, Indiana, out in South Bend, and then a triple header on Saturday. First game is at Penn State. Second game is Clemson, Texas. And I think Clemson, Texas is the second game.
Do you look forward to these games as much as you do the NFL at this point? Or
oh, yeah.
You do?
College football playoff, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the NFL, I mean, the NFL always has five or six games. I mean, unless you're just betting on them or you got fantasy implications, you just don't care about them. But there are two games. There's two games on Saturday in the NFL, and Valdez will be watching one of them at 4:30 because the Ravens play the Steelers. But that's also at the same time, simultaneous to the college football playoff. So it'll be interesting to see what people choose to watch. But I am looking forward to the college football playoff, even though I've got a Christmas party on Saturday night, but I told my wife we're going to be there briefly.
And then don't you have a hard time going to parties and then just ducking out early? I mean, don't
Irish goodbyes, my friend. I'm the king of it.
I know, but don't you feel bad going for like an hour or half hour?
No, because I just show my face, say hi, you know, have a drink, and then duck.
And then you just walk out the door?
And just duck, yeah. I mean, there's so many people there, they're not even going to notice that you're gone.
Right.
Do you have any Christmas parties this weekend?
I don't think I have anything.
Oh, you don't?
Nobody cares about me.
All right.
We've
got one on Friday night and one on Saturday.
I think when's the
Now, Friday night's going to be a little dicey because I don't know how I'm going to feel on Friday after the Christmas show.
Right. Well, we're not going to go crazy, but we're going to have a good time, and we invite people to come out to the MGM, National Harbor. We'll be out there doing the show live from 6 to 10. I also love the fact that we're going to do a rendition of What Would You Do for the Junks? That's so fun for me.
I already have people texting me.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. I'm telling you. That was just pure jealousy why that got canceled. That was just fun. What Would You Do for the Junks? We did that occasionally.
It's not junks. It's junk.
What do you mean?
Because I like the idea of one person getting the gift as opposed to
everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody that's
the ping pong ball.
Yeah,
drawing.
That's the lottery ball, ping pong ball, bingo.
So let me ask you this: are we going to hear the gift offering before you draw the ping pong ball? Or are you going to do the ping pong ball first, and then we hear what? The
gift of course.
Is?
We'll just bring the guy up or the gal, whoever brings something, show you what they brought, tease you a little bit, and then I went last night.
Spin it.
I went on Facebook Marketplace. I got one of those bingo metal cages, things you roll around and you pick up.
You already got it? You picked it up?
Yeah.
Where'd you pick it up? Like nearby?
I drove to Gainesville last night, knocked on someone's house. Yeah.
Oh,
damn.
You guys did. We do stuff for the show. We think about the show. Yeah.
That's all in. All right. Yeah. I like it.
Think about it way more than I do.
How long
was
the drive to Gainesville?
From my house? 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, it's not
that far.
Yeah. Okay.
Drab lives butt close to the guy.
By the way, are you guys, I know you.
We live out in the sticks.
Are you paying attention to Bitcoin at all? It's about to tickle 110.
110? Jeez.
It's at 10.
I don't pay attention
basically
anymore.
108 right now.
So I'm
maybe
depressed.
Maybe someone will bring a Bitcoin for you guys to fight over.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That's funny.
Even if you did 1/100th of one, you'd be sized.
Do you just watch it all day?
I kind of do. And I have nothing.
Well, because you still have it.
I have nothing. Yeah, I have like 6/10 of one. I have not, like, Cakes has like 4.5.
He's got 4.5 coins.
4.5.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, so gonna, and that in the grand scheme of things is nothing.
He's got almost 500 grand.
He's got $500,000 in Bitcoin right now.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even care.
He hit the freaking lotto.
Here's a great thing about it. He'll never sell it. He'll never sell it.
Yes, he will.
I'm telling you, I don't think he will.
How are you going to use the?
He's not going to use it.
How are you going to use the Bitcoin?
He's not going to use it because he doesn't need it. It's just it's his investment, and he likes to see it go up.
Well, eventually,
you got to pool your investments at some point.
I know it's a hard call.
That's like saying you're never going to use your 401k.
That's exactly what it's like.
No, this one goes up way more. I mean, this thing, I'm telling you, this thing's going to the moon, baby.
But I'm just saying, you're going to use some of it. We're not going to be making what we're making for the rest of our lives.
I know. I'll tap into other stuff before I tap into this. I'm telling you. That says so
man,
silly.
I'm just so bitter that I bought it and sold it quickly.
You have soft hands.
Stupid. Yeah. It was just stupidity.
Yeah, diamond hands.
Yeah, you need diamond hands, buddy.
Hey, real quick. Caller number 10 will win 2 tickets to go see... Hold on. I got to get the read right. 2 tickets to go see the Where the Party At tour featuring Nelly, the Saint Lunatics, Ja Rule.
Sounds like you're kind of
Eve, Jermaine Dupri. This is July 23rd at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. I guess this is a big deal. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com. So /events. Sorry, thefandc.com/events. So caller number 10 right now will win 2 tickets to that.
All right.
So, man, we had a lot of giveaways today. Seemed like it anyway. Well,
do we still have more Toto tickets to give away? Are we giving them away all week?
Maybe tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow?
Maybe tomorrow.
I feel like every time we give away the Toto tickets, you need to play Hold the Line. It should be on in the background.
Right.
It just gets people sized. One of the all-time great yacht rock songs.
Yes, I agree. I love Christopher Cross, too.
He's
the king. He's like the king of yacht
rock. Yacht sailing?
It's just a great song.
Yeah, I get sized.
All right, so you're going to play golf.
I'm going to play golf. What are you doing? I got to do my interview, though, with Derek.
I got to go Christmas shopping today.
Buy me something silly.
Maybe for the Christmas show.
You know, every time I see Raven stuff, I think of Valdez. Yeah, I think about buying him stuff. Yeah. I never do, but I always...
You don't have to give me anything.
I always think about you, though. Every time I see purple... I think about Valdez.
B. Mitch and Finley up next. See you tomorrow.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.